ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, September 13th, 2018. I'm Kevin Larame with Dwayne Mullins online. Today, we're going to focus on the Premier League, focus a bit on UEFA. There's a third competition that's going to start. But Dwayne, just before we do that, Minnesota had one job last night, and I guess they can't prevent DC from scoring. It finished 2-1 for DC, and playoff hopes for Montreal dwindling like by a few percent last night.
Yeah, one job, like you say. Look, 30. What is it? DC's at 34 points now. Montreal's at 36, but one game in hand. So you know what? It's close to the point. The points in the pocket are points in the board, or points in the board are points in the pocket is what we say. I mixed my own saying up. But yeah, it's getting harder. It's going to be a battle royale right down to it. 33, 34, 36. I'm going to keep Toronto out of this mix unless they win three in a row, and then I'll start talking about them again. Yeah, it's one job, but I don't think you ever want – it's only been a short history with Minnesota, but I don't know if we can really trust the MLS version of Minnesota to get any job done, really. Not particularly the strongest team. They haven't had their full hard launch yet, though, of course, as we talked to our friends in Mississauga. There was an event in Mississauga last night, so Mississauga in the brain. In Minnesota, they'll be a little frustrated by that. Anyway, yeah, DC still seems like they might be in there. If you're a wagering type of person, maybe put $10 on DC United win MLS Cup, because that you might get some good odds on that.
Speaking of Mississauga, you're right. There's an MASL club in Canada now. It's going to be in Mississauga, the major arena soccer league that. A few Canadians play, of course, in it. Federico Mugen, one of the most known one who plays south of the border for the Tropics. But yeah, this team has been launched. It's going to be in Mississauga, playing in the former Hershey Center. And I have to say, Dwayne De Rosario coming out of retirement to play for them. I was not surprised, because he was involved in the Canadian Arena Soccer national team, I guess, over the last year. This program that was taken care of by Alf de Blasis, guest that we had on this show a few times, and now they're moving this along with an MASL franchise. We'll see what it looks like.
We will. I was unable to make the event last night. I had something else that came up at the last minute, but I did have some people that were there and told me that the turnout was actually remarkably good. They had a lot of Mississauga politicians out there. For those that don't know, listening outside the Toronto area, Mississauga is a major suburb just to the west of the city. It's about a million people onto its own, is its own city. So a very large city that has already hosts, what do they call it, E-League or D-League or something. Well, it's the Raptors farm team, basically, is already out there. So
now it's the Gatorade League. But yes, it used to be the D-League, yeah.
Yeah, so they have some professional sports. They have a junior hockey team as well. But so that it's a city onto its own, but it really is attached to Toronto, very close to Toronto. So, bringing Dero into this mix, which some people have been pointing out to me that know the arena game a little better than I do, that this might not be completely gimmick, because they said that because Dero is still an immensely talented player on the ball and has the ability to, strike the ball pretty strongly at a level higher than most of the people that will be playing in this league. They're suggesting that he could probably play 3 or 4 years at a high level and be a dominant player in this league, because fitness, although he's still a fit guy, but world-class fitness is not necessarily needed to be successful in the arena game. The question probably here is whether or not we should care about the arena game, and that's a debate I think we each individually have to have. I don't think it has any role in development for sure, but in terms of an entertainment product, yeah, that's something you can all make your decide for your one. If you want to go watch Nero and Adrian Can as well, also came out of retirement to play in this league. So
yeah, and even Kulich is going to be involved in this team too. So it's an interesting aspect in Mississauga, and for the Mississauga Can't Be Yale supporters, at least you got some soccer to bite your teeth into before you eventually maybe get a Canadian Premier League team. All right, let's move to UEFA. A third European competition? Really? Really? Do we need this? It's been announced a few days ago that UEFA is looking into having a third UEFA competition, with maybe having teams from Scotland and Wales, and maybe limiting which team from which league in which country could take part of this. And the idea behind it is to limit the amount of clubs in Europa League to go down from 48 teams in the group stage to 32, and have three group stage leagues of 32 in Europe. Dwayne, do we need this?
I don't know. I think I do understand. We just watched the Nations League, and we've talked with glowing terms, basically, on how this worked out, and particularly how it helps the smaller nations. So you can't very well say that it's great to have a Nations League to have the Andorras of the world playing against the Luxembourgs of the world, and not then say a similar thing on the club side wouldn't be useful. So, yes, if this competition is restricted to leagues with low coefficients below a certain level, so you're having smaller nations leagues that really don't have a chance to even realistically get into the Europa League, let alone the Champions League, have a competition for them, then I'm not necessarily opposed to that. I do think that it would be nice if the champion of this, whatever they're calling, people are kind of flippantly calling it the Champions League Light. I flippantly called it the Champions League Light. So if you do have the champion of this competition, whatever it may be called, maybe get a berth in the Europa League the next year, that would be a nice little carrot for that, a little bit of money. Now, the downfall to it that some people are pointing out is that it was going to have the same effect on small leagues that the Champions League has on big leagues, just at a different scale, because there'll be prize money involved. And if you have, you know, consistent teams that are consistently getting into this competition at the expense of other teams in these small leagues, then they're just going to have, you know, might not be millions like the Champions League, but hundreds of thousands of dollars getting invested, which is going to let them pull even further away, which will make the competitive balance in those smaller leagues, you know, screw it up, right? Just like the Champions League does. I mean, that's a big part of it. Teams that are consistently playing in the Champions League pull away from the rest of the pack, and it makes it difficult for that pack to catch up. So the same thing would happen on a different scale. So that's kind of the con against it, but the pro for it is that, you know, we get to watch another competition, and it does sort of not really decrease the amount of teams that are playing in Europe. We just divide them into three tiers, basically, and you know, getting rid of the bloat at the Europa League is not something that someone who talks about it every day. I'd be happy with that, because it becomes impossible to really cover it in any real way until it gets to the knockout stage, Kevin.
And for me, though, the aspect of the article, this one you can find on thetelegraph.co.uk, it's that little sentence. It's a throwaway sentence in the fourth paragraph, but I think it describes what this league is going to be there for. UEFA has made little secret to the fact that it has been looking at ways to raise Europa League's profile while also giving more clubs a shot at European competition, and therefore its ever-growing financial benefits. Is that a cash grab? Is this only to make more money for UEFA, which the Nations League is... It is a bit of that too, because, well, there's tickets being sold, and because it's not a friendly, it's a regular game, you kind of have a better response at the gate, or you will in the next few months. And for UEFA to have a third European competition, it's another entity they could sell rights to television channel, maybe a bit cheaper, but it's still an entity where they can sell it for rights, and it's tickets, and it's more money for them.
Yeah, well, no, and it's more money for gambling companies and for sponsors and everyone else, because don't kid yourself, gamblers would love another competition out there, because they like to wager on stuff like this that gets attention. So there is a lot of finances involved in this across the board. There's another theory that's floating around out there that this is being pushed by the bigger clubs too, because they eventually would like to break completely away and form the own Super League, which is one of these, you know, either, you know, dreams or nightmares, depending on your perspective, on a Super League that people have had for a long time. And it's felt that maybe this is another step in that direction, because it's just further sort of distancing the Champions League from the rest of it by having this competition out there. That's a bit of a stretch, perhaps, and I think maybe based on paranoia more than anything else. But certainly there's a lot of sort of ducks in line here, that are a lot of factors in play that we're not too quite sure of. You know, from a pure football fan, football hipster perspective, I sit here wearing a Fenerbahce strip this morning, so that's not kid ourselves.
They might play in that league.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, although I think it's what's that Cyprus team that went to the quarterfinals by accident, basically a couple years ago, Applewall or whatever. Yeah, I think they might be who I'd. Yeah, I'm going to bet on them to win the first version of this. And for those that don't know, it isn't scheduled to start until it's not official yet. But they basically made the announcement, and they just have to get approval from the clubs association. And I can't imagine this not going through at this point. It would start play in 2021. So we're a couple seasons off, but certainly the plans will be in place to sort of set up a factor for it. So Europa will stay at 48. The other thing that it might see happen, and I'd be perfectly happy with this, the only people that wouldn't like this perhaps would be, you know, Atletico Madrid, is that it would probably eliminate that drop down factor that already occurs in the Europa League, because you have 32 teams, you're having 8 groups of 4, right? And then the top 2 would advance, and you have your round of 16 just naturally there, so you don't have to sort of play that with 48, that weird number where they have the teams come down. So that would eliminate that, and I don't think anyone really missed that, because it would make it a pure competition, I think, an easier competition to handicap for sure. I mean, betting on who wins the Europa League is perhaps the stupidest thing you can perhaps do, because you have to figure out who's going to drop down from the Champions League before you can really handicap it. So making it a pure competition is I think a good thing. And if you add that carrot of a Europa League spot for you know, if you're a small team, you could perhaps, that wants to put a little investment in it. And you know, I already mentioned the possibility of this making the imbalance in the smaller leagues bigger. But put that aside for a second. If you're a small nations league and you want to invest a little bit of money in something to win this competition, and then maybe invest a little bit more to try and compete in the Europa League and perhaps even win that Europa League one day, you could, you know, conceivably have like a 3-year plan to get to the Champions League, right? If you win the Europa League. So, you know, I don't mind it as a football fan, but I do see some of the cons that are out there that you know, both literally and figuratively cons, if you talk about that.
I was going to make the joke. I was going to say, yeah, it is a con. It's conning people to part ways with their money. And it might be successful. We'll see. We're still a few seasons away, like you mentioned. 2021, 2022 will be potentially the first season of this third UEFA competition that is still unnamed yet. Speaking of Europe, Dwayne, guess what? The international break is finally over. And oh, this weekend, I know, I can't stand it either. At least
I don't mind international football, but the break makes me insane, especially when you're trying to plan a show. But go on, Kevin.
Well, at least we got a Canada game in this international break, which is better than a few years ago, where international break meant like we didn't have a game to really sink our teeth into, because Canada was not playing half of the international breaks, and that was it. But this weekend, the Premier League is back, and the first game Saturday morning is quite the important one. Tottenham-Liverpool. Liverpool undefeated, won 4 games, top of the league with Chelsea and Watford. And you have Tottenham in 1 defeat. This game is important, but for Tottenham, there's a few key pieces that are going to be missing this game.
Yeah, certainly not the best timing for Spurs. Ali is out. He injured himself during the international break. He seems to always be injured. Their keeper, of course, who's in trouble anyway, legally speaking, Lorenz, he's out as well with a thigh injury. So missing a key player, Paris. They do get Minson back from the Asian Cup. We didn't talk about that in the show, but I think it's been talked about a lot in other places. So
where he is going to play the next 2 years and not necessarily have to do his military service, because South Korea won the Asian Games, and if they did not win this tournament, all the team would have had to serve 2 years in the military. So Tottenham would have lost one of their good players because of military service.
Yeah, and I don't think there's ever been as much attention on the, you know, the Asian Games as there in North London as there has been in the last month. But Spurs fans were happy that South Korea got the job done. Japan did not. But Japan does not have mandatory military service, because Japan is not connected to the craziest nation on earth. The second craziest might be below us. No offense, guys, but nonetheless.
Let's not go there. But
Yeah, exactly. So that they got out of a little lucky there. So he could be back to the lineup, but will he be tired from that? A lot of travel, a lot of emotion. I mean, he plays in the World Cup, then immediately goes to the Asian Games, has this hanging over his head. So is he going to be ready to jump back in? I'm not too sure about that. Liverpool's pretty healthy. Lovren's out. But other than that, this is a pretty healthy club that's flying pretty high right now. But this is, I think, quite clearly the biggest game of the year so far. I mean, it's an early season, but If you're Spurs, which I'm just trying to look at their standings right now, Spurs right now on 9 points. So, I mean, they could close that gap to Liverpool or be six back. And I have a feeling that there's not going to be a lot of points dropped by the top teams in the Premier League this year. So you can't afford to fall six packs, points back already. You know, even the fact that City has tied a game already is I think, troublesome to City fans, although they are still undefeated. And it's going to be interesting at the top. Now, Watford. Yeah, Watford. Do you think that they can the minnows Manchester United can take the undefeated Watford down on at the 12:30 game? There's a great bookend of games on the weekend. Your early game and your late game is very interesting.
Yeah, no, there is. And between those games, you have Man City Fulham at 10, Bournemouth Leicester City at 10 a.m., Newcastle Arsenal as well at 10 a.m., Huddersfield Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Cardiff. Chelsea, Dwayne, will continue to be undefeated and will win against Cardiff at home and will be top of the league again. Thank you, Chelsea. That's a great beginning of the season. It's not looking great on the field, but you know what? On the table and in your record, it doesn't say how you played. It says just the amount of points, and I'll take any points I can. But you're right. Watford, Man United. What a beginning of season for Watford. We were expecting Wolves to have a good beginning of the season, and they did compared to what Wolves usually do. But Watford, wow, what a beginning of the season. Can Watford at home beat Man United? Will Mourinho's club do like Mourinho earlier this week and stumble and fall?
Well, yeah, I mean, you were all the Mourinho watch is going to continue. Anytime that United drops points this year, look, United is not a bad team. They just have not had a great start to the season with the two losses. Watford has started very well, but you'd have to give United, still consider them the favorite here, jokes aside, right? If they were to drop more points to a team like Watford, every time, as I said, they drop points, we're going to be talking about Mourinho. It's going to be hanging over them the rest of the year. At some point, you know, was Zidane already making noises in the French press about how he expects a call from United? I mean, he's not even hiding the fact that he's angling for this job right now, which in fairness, Mourinho didn't hide the fact that he was angling for the job before this too. So,
While he was at Chelsea.
Goes around comes around, I guess. But yeah. It's going to be hanging over them. That game is fascinating. Watford is a decent team. There's a really interesting discussion that's been sort of ongoing. I listen to Football Ramble every week, as do a lot of people, obviously. And The Guardian are the two main European shows that I listen to. But on Football Ramble, they've been talking a lot about, is there a mid-table? Are there mid-table teams anymore? There's either, you know, the top, and then there's the rest of the team battling for relegation. There doesn't seem to be a mid-table, but they kind of had the consensus kind of is that Watford is that mid-table team. It used to be Stoke. Now Stoke's down.
Yeah.
That Watford might be the team that just finishes 10th every year, and they've had a great start to the season, and they're a decent team that's going to take scalps as the year goes on. But to expect them to go 5-0, hey, if they go 5-0, I mean, party to get a bus tour through the city, because really this is as good as going to be. I wonder, when you're a team like Watford, look at Burnley down at the bottom right now, and I'm thinking seventh. Can they get seventh, which would probably get them a Europa League spot? Do they want that? Because look at Burnley's start of the season after such a great season last year. Gets seventh place, gets to qualify for Europe, has those days. Didn't quite get to the full group stage, but they did have a nice little run in the qualifying. Well, but they're on 1 point minus six right now and have not looked good at all. It's so hard for these teams that just don't have the depth. It's not that they don't have top talent that can compete. It's that they don't have the depth. When they're playing every Saturday, that's fine. But when they're playing Thursday, Saturday, it's tough.
And Burnley lost one of their great players this offseason. And you know where I'm going with this. Scott Arfield.
Yeah.
Canadian Captain Canada. Is not with Burnley anymore. He is now with Rangers and in Scotland. And you do see the difference in the midfield of Burnley. I'm not saying it's all because Scott Arfield left, but it's part of the solution. Wolves Burnley, Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. Everton, West Ham. West Ham need help. They need everything they can, and it's going to be tough against Everton. You know, West Ham could be relegated this year if they don't get their ducks in a row. And that is surprising. And we glanced over that game with Newcastle Arsenal. Newcastle needs result quickly too, and it's going to be at home at St. James Park versus the Gunners, but it's not going to be easy. And the last game this weekend, Monday night football at 3 p.m. Eastern, Southampton Brighton. If you have one game you can skip, it can be the Monday one.
Brighton's fun to watch.
Yeah, Paul but Burner, it's on the road.
Paul Burner used to be involved with them. You know, I'm not going to completely. And Brighton's a fun place. Have you ever been to Brighton? Brighton's a good place.
It's yeah,
fun,
yeah. Fun it's, little town it's a to great go stadium, too. But this game is Southampton, so you can skip it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you mentioned Newcastle and West Ham, both in the relegation zone right now. Those are two historic clubs that should not be in 18th and 20th place right now. And the West Ham, a lot of people are talking about that. They have just never been right since they moved to that stadium. And I don't, if ever there was a sort of, you know, they will probably want to, you know, reinvent their former stadium, get out of the, where they are now, because it just, they've never been right. Like, how can one team just be so torn by a change of identity? They just don't know where they are. In Newcastle, we all know, I mean, I've made the comparison to Newcastle United with the old Toronto Maple Leafs before. I think it's even more glaring right now. I mean, Ashley is Ballard, right? And until they get rid of him, I think that there's a lot of trouble floating around in this city.
Look, they're positive $25 million in the transfer window. And that, for a club like Newcastle, is not positive. Newcastles want to spend money to get the players they want to be able to be competitive. And Rafa Benitez has been open about it as well, the manager of Newcastle, saying, look, I don't necessarily have the tools to compete, and I'm going to do my best here, but it's not going to be easy. And yes, it's fun. You see Yedlin, U.S. Men's National Team left back, play for Newcastle. He's one of the good players in that team. But he can't do everything by himself. And you do feel Newcastle is missing some key pieces to compete, to just stay above water, stay above that relegation zone. And right now, they're not. And okay, there's going to be a correction time in this year's Premier League, right? You're not going to have clubs like Watford stay third in the Premier League for the entire season. And you'll have clubs like Southampton maybe drop down a bit. Fulham probably is not going to sustain this level of success either. And other skills probably going to drop down, and it's going to correct itself. But if you're Newcastle and West Ham, you cannot dig yourself too much of a hole. And right now, it's not too bad. But West Ham has 0 points so far, and that's really impressive.
It's impressive in the wrong kind of way. If I'm a zillionaire out there, and that's really what you got to be right now. I don't even know if does zillion come after billion. I don't know, because those numbers are too big for me to comprehend. But if I'm a zillionaire out there, I'm looking at West Ham. I'm looking at Newcastle. Those are the two sleeping giants of world football in many, many ways. In the English Premier League, one's an historic team with a devoted fan base that shows up in huge numbers week in, week out in the north. And one is in London with, again, an historic and devoted fan base. And if you could turn those teams around, they shouldn't be where they are. They absolutely should be competing at a higher level, both for the advantages that they have, but alas, here we are. And you're right, you can't dig yourself too much of a hole in here. But then again, you know, they're West Ham's on 0 points, but they're only
one win away from being 15th.
Yeah. Yeah, and two wins away from being eighth, right? Like Leicester's on sixth and eighth right now. So it's the bottom, as they said on Football Ramble, there's no mid-table teams anymore other than maybe Watford, although right now Watford's in a Champions League position. So away we go.
And it's really early to take a look at the table, of course, but just to look at the relegation zone and to look at the top of the Premier League to see if there's any team pulling away. And it's interesting, too. We got three teams with four wins so far. Liverpool, Chelsea, Watford. Liverpool is number one because of their goal differential of 8+8, Chelsea +7, Watford +6. Not bad, not bad at all. Man City +8, but they drew against Wolves, so they are now at 10 points. Tottenham at 9, Bournemouth at 7, then Everton, Leicester, Arsenal, and Man United number 10. You know, that's not going to stay there either. Man United on 10 points, they're going to get a few more points eventually, hopefully. If not, they're going to sack the special one.
Hopefully, bite your tongue on hopefully. it'd be one of the greatest seasons in history if they stayed on 6 points the rest of the way. Sorry, United fans. Yeah, old habits die hard.
This is not Football Manager, Dwayne. You're not going to be able to get Man United relegated, you know.
It's one of the best ways to play the game. The key, for those who don't know, I've talked about this before, a great way to play Football Manager is to take any big team in the world, Barcelona, Manchester United, whatever, and try to get them relegated without getting fired. It is very challenging. It is more challenging than winning the Champions League with a smaller team. So there's a little challenge for you if you're a Football Manager player right there.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's not going to be easy. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about Major League Soccer. We'll preview the weekend. The playoff battle is heating up in the Eastern Conference and in the Western Conference. We'll talk about this tomorrow, Dwayne. But before we finish the show, let's touch a bit on the Canadian Premier League and the article that you wrote yesterday. We don't agree on this issue, and we might keep it short here, but playoffs in the Canadian Premier League. It was announced last year when they talked, or earlier this year, when they talked about the Premier League, it's going to be a single table, single season, and you have a champion at the end. But apparently, you would like, or a lot of people would like, some sort of championship game, or a playoff, or something to bridge the consciousness of sports fans in North America and the soccer fans.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced that they did say that. You're correct, but they haven't said it since. And when I wrote this article in Canadian Soccer News yesterday, which I just whipped off as kind of because I had a poll the other day where I asked whether we should have a League Cup competition within the Canadian Premier League so that there is something separate that's just for Canadian Premier League teams, that there is a final. And I think that this is the key point that I'm making here, is I think that they're, for marketing purposes, for awareness purposes, that they're that having a big day, a final day, where you're having the attention of the media and the local communities involved, and sort of all the fan bases together on one game is a good idea. And the Voyageurs Cup, in theory, could be that, but the Voyageurs Cup is going to have the three MLS teams in it. And let's be realistic, for the foreseeable future, the Voyageurs Cup final will probably be MLS versus MLS, or at best case scenario for Canadian Premier League perspective, MLS versus Canadian Premier League. Sorry, Ottawa, I'm leaving you out for this analogy for right now, but you know, it's unlikely that it's going to be CAN-PL, CAN-PL, right? At least for 5, 6, 7 years. So you're not going to have that day. So I made the argument that maybe a League Cup is the way to go here. And if you expand that League Cup to, you know, include a Division II down the line, then maybe it you know, it's kind of silly right now when you might only have 7 teams or 8 teams in it that to have a League Cup. Yeah, I get that. But when you expand the number up, and they will in the future years, it becomes a bigger competition and a little bit more difficult to win. Nonetheless, that was kind of my argument. So I expanded that upon to the idea that I do think it's a mistake for them to not have playoffs, because there is this perception amongst fans here that things that – the way things are done in Europe is the way things are done quote unquote correctly. The reality is there are 31 leagues in the world that have a playoff format of some case to determine a champion. And they include leagues like Mexico, Japan, Australia, MLS, obviously. Those are the biggest ones that probably do it. But it is certainly just not an MLS thing. So the knee-jerk reaction against it, I think, is misguided, especially when you're in North America and fans here that aren't in the bubble, and we talk about the bubble a lot, don't necessarily buy into the same idea that a single table round robin, it's a round robin tournament is what it is the best way to determine a champion. I just don't think it is. I don't agree with that. Never have. The best way to determine a champion is whatever way you decide to determine a champion, because all your teams at that point are working towards that same goal. They're designing their season. They're organizing their season. They're setting themselves up in such a way that speaks towards the end goal, which is in a playoff league is to peak at the right time. In a single table league, it's to stay consistent throughout, and that's a different sort of goal. It doesn't necessarily mean one's better than the other. They're just different. At any rate, I sort of made that argument, and I was, Kevin, I'll let you jump in after this, but I was really surprised at, actually, I expected more pushback against it, but it was almost 80-90% people agreeing with me, including, curiously, several people that are identifiably working for the Canadian Premier League that are making comments like, yeah, I kind of agree with this, or oh, this isn't the only league that does it. Or in one case, ticket sellers saying that when I talk to ticket buyers, they want playoffs. And this makes me think, Kevin, and I'll let you jump in after this, that maybe they're changing their mind a little bit internally, because if the people involved in the league are not, you know, you'd expect them to just ignore it if they disagreed with it. But for them to make comments on it almost seems like tribal learning to me. So I wouldn't be shocked if that statement they made when they, you know, we're talking to the hardcore geeks like us a year ago or a half a year ago, is sort of pushed aside by the time launch happens.
For me, the only caveat to that is you have 7 clubs so far. So having 70% of your clubs, well, 5 out of 7 making the playoff, what is the regular season for? What is it worth for? It becomes a CFL, which the Montreal Alouettes are terrible. Terrible team. They've won 3 games in 2 years, and they're going to make the playoff. What's the point? What's the point of the regular season? And for me, you don't want to dilute your product. And that's where this can become important for the Canadian Premier League is, look, you got seven teams, okay? So let's figure it's going to be seven for next year. If you have a four-game calendar against every team, it's 24 games. You add the League Cup, the Canadian Championship, and you can have another little side contest. You got yourself close to 40, 50-game season, and that's what you kind of want. So for me to dilute that product by saying, okay, five out of seven, four out of the seven, which is more than half, like 60%, are going to make the playoff, it dilutes those 24 games of the regular season, if that's the case. And we are seeing enough of that. I'm seeing enough of the NHL having more than 50% of the teams making the playoff. The only league, in my view, in North America right now, there's actually two leagues that are doing this probably the proper way, is Major League Baseball. The season means a lot because there's so few teams making the playoffs, the postseason, and you actually have a lot riding on every single game when it comes September baseball. And that's what I want to see. If they go that route, make it a... It's hard because there's seven. So I would say just two best teams have a championship game. That's it.
Yeah, no, to be clear, that's what I would advocate for as well. I don't want an 18 playoff. Obviously, you can't have an 18 playoff in an 18 league.
There's seven teams. What, you call Ottawa? Ottawa, I know we don't agree, but you want to come play the playoffs?
I think there'll be an eighth team by the time they launch, and I think it's going to be in Kitchener. But alas, this is four teams even in an 18 league. I don't agree with that either. I would at the very high end go three. And I like the A-League playoff, and I've talked about this. We call the Page playoff here with Carling. If you're a Carling fan, you know how it works, where you have one play two final, and three play four, and then the three play four loser is eliminated. The 1v2 winner goes on to the final and then plays the winner of the 3-4 in a semifinal play the final again. So you have a double chance to get in.
Yeah, but
I kind of like that format.
It becomes complicated because you lose a playoff game, but you're still in it. That doesn't make any sense. If you lose a playoff game, bye-bye, you're going home. So maybe what you do is you have three teams. The winner of the season, to make it mean something, goes directly to the final.
And hosts,
if you want to have it that way. Otherwise, you might have to do a neutral site. I hope not. But in a burgeoning league like this, you need home support. So the winner of the league of the season gets the final at home and plays the final, and then two plays three. The winner of that goes to the final versus number one.
Yeah, well,
if you
want
to do playoffs,
that would be the other way I would do it. Yeah, or one versus two is fine too. Or one curious comment I had from some person who's associated with the league as well was that he said I kind of like conferences. And now I'm not a big conference fan, but if you have two sort of tables, you'd have to have more teams for this to be clear. If you got up to 16 and you have eight teams in the West, eight teams in the East, and you play I don't know, what would that be, 21-team game schedules, I guess, or seven times two would be 14, so you'd times three or four. You'd probably 2018 game season, four times each in a eight-game thing. Then you would have the two winners play in a championship game, East versus West. That's fine, too. But, an exclusive playoff is what I'm talking about. I just like the idea of a big day that lots of people can gather. And look, I've never been to a Grey Cup, but I've been, Toronto's hosted it several times, not several times, but a couple times in the past few years. And I have been around the events of the games when it was been hosted in Toronto. And I've seen how many people travel every year
MLS
to a Grey Cup. I've seen it.
You've been
and
to
I
Toronto
like
MLS
that.
Cup, right? Then, so basically what we want is to know when the trophy is going to be at stakes. Right, that's the important thing is for, because look, the Premier League example. Look, Man City, 4 weeks before the end of the season, they've already wrapped it up and they already had not necessarily the full celebration, but they knew they're going to be champions and they're going to be champion elect, and you had the Guard of Honor and all that. But you kind of don't have that timeline of okay, you play this game, the trophy's on the sideline, and the winner of this game gets that trophy. I think that's what maybe some North American sports fans are used to. So it'll be interesting to see what the thinking of this idea goes in the future. And it might evolve too. You might have one way to do it at 7 teams and 8 teams and then 10 teams. And when you get to 16, 2-8 table, and then you have maybe the top two play a semifinal, and then the winner of the East and the winner of the West meets for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A Super Trophy. A Super Game.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, that works for me in many, many ways. I just want that thing. And the other alternative I gave was that League Cup competition. And you know, if you had that at the end of the season, essentially you were creating MLS Cup. It's just that MLS Cup is labeled as the title as opposed to just a cup competition that you have at the end of the thing. And you'd have to be careful how you monitored things. There's ways to do this, or you could have it through the season to sort of make it clear that your round robin champion is your champion. So, look, there's room for discussion here. And I do think that regardless, what you just said is absolutely going to happen, that there will be an evolution to how this works. So even right now, there are a lot of people that are hardcore, I flippantly call them truthers, but they're hardcore people that believe very strongly that the only true way to determine a champion is through the round robin. And you know, we understand that. We watch it in the Premier League. It is one of the most popular leagues in the world, so it obviously works there. I won't get into the arguments of why that works there now. It just does. So they believe that, and maybe they do launch with that. But I do think that if you have a champion determined with 3 or 4 weeks left in the season, then it's not going to go very well on the ticket sale front for the end of that season or on the TV front or anything else. And I think from a commercial standpoint, it's not necessarily the best idea. And that's really where I come down in this, because I want this league to be successful. And even if I were to completely believe in the idea that it's, you know, that a round robin is more quote unquote authentic, which I don't, but if I were, I'd still ultimately have to think commercially as well. And I do believe that now that they're actually out there selling tickets and talking to fans and not just talking to the people inside the bubble, that there is a rethink happening at the Canadian Premier League offices. We'll see. We'll see very soon. And, you know, this is a league that is committed to trying to emulate some of those European things. They did mention Pro Rel, and I do think that they are interested in that idea and getting up to 16 teams and having two leagues. I do think that that's something that they are committed to and that they should be committed to and that they will continue to be committed to. If they do that and have the top two teams play a championship game, so be it. I've always said, can you imagine the Premier League, as much as people like to dismiss it, and maybe I'll end with this, but could you imagine if at the end of the Premier League season, one played 4, 2 played 3, and then the winners played for a title? Can you imagine how big of a revenue there would be in that championship game? It would be a B would be involved in how much money would be made in that game.
It
so
would be like the Champions League final, just maybe not as widespread globally, but it would be like the Champions League final game.
It might be as spread globally, I think, just because of the commercial success of the Premier League. It's never going to happen because of traditions over there, but there's no doubt that it would make a lot of money and it would create a lot of attention. So and look at just even how there was a lot of pushback when they created the playoffs for promotion in England. But now people love that game. They call it the billion-dollar game or the million-dollar game or whatever. The $100 million game is what they call it in the championship playoff final, right? Yeah. And no one could imagine it not happening now because people have grown up with it. So we'll see. This is, as you said to me when we were talking about this morning, a little inside baseball. But we are a show that does talk to inside baseball people. So let us know. Let us know in our social medias whether you agree or with Kevin that maybe this is the wrong way to go, or with me that maybe they need to be a little more commercially focused. Or maybe I'm just completely wrong that it isn't commercially focused. Just let us know and we'll keep following it. It's all out there.
And you can let it Dwayne know on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame, the show at Soccer Today SPN. We'll be back tomorrow with an MLS weekend preview and all the news in the world of football with a soccer perspective. You can find the podcast version of this show anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for Soccer Network. And as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.